Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are, and should be, proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start talking with Chet Gladchuk, our Naval Academy's athletic director. Then Quentin Roberts and I will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. So, joining me, of course, is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Howdy, buddy.
Hey, Denny, always a pleasure to be here. Excited for our interview today.
Yep. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Chet Gladchuk, Navy's athletic director. I'm delighted you could join us, Chet. I think I should say welcome aboard, right?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, absolutely. Welcome aboard. Glad to be aboard and with you both.
Go ahead, Quentin.
Well, Chet, I'm going to give a brief introduction, if you don't mind. I mean, you've been such a rock at Navy for a long time, and it's worthy to let our audience know a little bit about you here. So this is Chet Gladchuk. He's entering his 24th year as the president of the Naval Academy Athletic Association and director of athletics. Chet has overseen the most successful era in the history of Naval Academy athletics. He's overseen the $80 million renovation of Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium and engineered the move to the American Athletic Conference for the football team, which will secure Navy's future as a football bowl subdivision program of national stature for years to come. Chet has been able to parlay Navy's success with a television partnership with CBS Sports Network that has increased Navy's television exposure. And of course, the game between Army and Navy is on CBS for the foreseeable future. For his leadership, Chet has been recognized nationally with numerous awards, including the John L. Toner Award from the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame and the Bobby Dodd Athletic Director of the Year Award. He's a Boston College alum, where he was a three-year letterman on the BC Eagles football team, graduated with honors, but of course, I'm sure he would probably tell you his most cherished position is that as a father and husband married to Kathy and their four children of John, Katie, Christy, and Julie. So, Chet, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Quentin. It's a pleasure to be with you both.
Well, Chet, I'm going to jump in. You know, our service academies are really leadership laboratories. And so a lot of people want to know, what is it that not only the athletes, but also the midshipmen, but almost in more particular, the athletes. How do you believe that athletics and sports helps them become leaders in tomorrow's Navy and Marine Corps?
Well, that's a great question, Quentin. You know, we live that every day here at the Naval Academy. Most institutions, civilian institutions, speak about a mission. You know, it may be the president of the institution speaking to the Faculty Senate, and once a year, he might review the mission and what it's about, and it kind of, you know, comes and it goes, and, you know, people then go on with the their daily chores and responsibilities. At a service academy, and I think that we're all extremely similar, is we live our mission every single day. You know, we are here devoted to the three tenets of our mission, which are developing leaders morally, mentally, and physically. And it's equitably important across the board. There's nothing that's more important than the physical activity, or there's nothing that's more important than the leadership development out of the Commandant's office. And what athletics does is it builds leadership in so many ways, you know, with the teamwork that comes with the camaraderie and the ability to be able to, you know, cherish those wonderful moments together and build relationships. You know, or the adversity that comes with some tough days at the office, you know, and so, I mean, there's so many valuables that are entrenched in how we develop our leaders, tangibles and intangibles. And that's why all 4,400 of our midshipmen, you know, as I call it, break a sweat every day in some form of competitive activity, again, because of what they derive, you know, from competition, whether it be intercollegiate, whether it be club sports, or whether it even be intramurals, there's competition going on all fronts. So it's a huge part, again, of our curriculum. We offer 36 sports here, which is one of the largest in the United States, comparable to both Ohio State and Stanford. And, you know, basically, in summary, it's the educational component of active participation where they're all pushed to their limits on different fronts and have to deal again with challenges that they don't normally see in the classroom or even in most of their military training.
Well, that's well put, Chad. And as we move specifically to football, you know, you had to make a tough decision a couple of years ago when you moved on from Coach Neil Matalolo to Coach Brian Newberry. Last week, you saw a rousing victory in Colorado Springs, the first, I think, since 2012. I'm telling you, I'll be honest, my heart still sheds a couple of tears for that game. But it was we saw it coming, a definitive dominant win by Navy. Is this what you envisioned when you brought Coach Newberry on? And what does a strong football program mean to the Naval Academy?
Well, you know, football is the emotional fiber, I think, of any institution. You take a look at what it means to not only the service academies, but, you know, any school across the land, you know, the rallying point for alumni, catalyst for donations, you know, the spirit of a community, you know, the morale of a student body or a brigade or a corps of cadets. It really is a driving force, and so much of that which is around us reacts to the success of a football program. You know, that's in it. You got a winning mindset and is producing on the field. So it's critically important that we maintain successful programs in all 36 sports. But because the football program is so nationally visible, internationally visible, it's a reflection of the ambitions of the institution, and therefore to make certain that we can successfully compete at the highest level, you know, is a priority of our institution. You know, we have a mindset here, Quentin, that revolves around expect to win. And, you know, what does that mean? That means that we're prepared in everything we do. We go forward with great confidence, whether it be in the classroom or whether it be in military exercise or whether it be on the football field or on the squash courts. You're prepared. You expect to succeed. You go in again with the confidence that you've been prepared the right way to succeed. And, you know, you win some and you lose some. That comes with it. There's no question about it.
Sure.
But in the meantime, it's a mindset that's developed, you know, through the intercollegiate program and reinforced by the success of which is, you know, Army, Navy, and Air Force, you know, really our lead programs. And that is our football traditions.
Well, Chet, with the Navy, if they run the table here and win out, as a path to the college football playoff, perhaps. What would you say about that? What would that mean to the institution as well?
Well, that's kind of a long shot, I think, for all of us. You know, Army and Navy, we, you know, right now we're glowing a bit in the recognition that both of us are 5-0. But you can see it can fall off pretty quickly. Look what happened to your alma mater. I would expect last year, Air Force, you know, they were 8-0. You know, then they got beaten. And things didn't turn out quite as well as they'd expected. So you take it one game at a time and you see how it goes. But, you know, if we were able to make the playoff or Army makes the playoff, it's a tremendous statement, you know, for service academy football, maintaining the purism of amateurism. None of our guys are transfers. None of our guys are, you know, NIL recipients. You know, we're doing it the good old fashioned way. And it speaks again to the values of the institution, the mission of each institution, but the ability to still be able to perform successfully in the competitive arena.
Well, Chet, that, again, you put it, I would concur wholeheartedly, and you all are doing a great job. You've done a great job. I want to thank you for a few minutes of your time today.
My pleasure, Quinn. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Chet, for sharing your insights today, and thank you for the way you're serving our nation. God bless you.
Thank you, Danny.
Next, Quentin and I will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do at least 50. This well-thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
The Iraq War is more than 20 years old, and troops are still on the ground in Iraq. But why?
For too long, lawmakers have sent American troops to Iraq and beyond in support of vague missions that don't tie to a vital national interest.
At Concerned Veterans for America, we're translating our unique experiences as veterans to call for a better foreign policy that makes Americans safer and more prosperous.
Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. So, of course, I'm joined by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, brother.
Denny, present and accounted for, sir.
Indeed. This was quite a week, at least for Army and Navy. They both won very nicely. Army beat East Carolina 45-28. That's a pretty good bump, isn't it?
Ooh, it sure is, Denny. It sure is. And I tell you what, you know, the story of the season, Army does move to, and let me preface that with the number 23rd ranked Army Black Knights defeated the East Carolina University Pirates 45-28 on a beautiful autumn day in sold out Mikey Stadium. When is the last time there was a sellout for an East Carolina team? But when the Black Knights are 7-0, 6-0 in the American Athletic Conference, and ranked number 23 in the country, you're starting to get the sellouts at beautiful Mikey Stadium. And the star of the show, senior quarterback Bryson Daly, who had another record-setting day, breaking two single-season program records, one being the most rushing touchdowns in a season, and that's with five games to go. And the second being the most touchdowns responsible for in a season, as he accounted for six touchdowns against East Carolina, five on the ground, one through the air. And Denny, now you know you're breaking records when you're breaking those that have stood for over 100 years. This is the first six touchdown accounted for game by an Army player since Elmer Oliphant's six touchdown day in, guess what year that was, Denny?
Wow.
You got it. 1916. 1916. It stood for over 100 years. So I don't know who Mr. Oliphant was, but I sure would like to shake his hand because he must have been one heck of a football player, as is that senior quarterback Bryson Daly. And through the air, Daly tallied 147 yards on a very efficient 7 of 10 passing. Of course, I mentioned that one touchdown and totaled 171 yards on 31 carries. Now, Denny, there's been talk about this thing called the Heisman Trophy. And they've been saying, and it's wide open this year, no one has really taken hold of it. But with performances like his and that of the quarterback from Navy that we're going to talk about, Blake Horvath, those two gentlemen will be in the running for the Heisman. So that's exciting. But of course, they are leading their teams. You know, when we look at this game, Denny, Army just jumped all over East Carolina and didn't let up. They were up 24-0 at the half, allowing East Carolina only 95 yards in the first half. That's because their defense was just lights out. I mean, East Carolina didn't even get into Army's territory but once in the third quarter. And so, you know, they started the fourth quarter with a 38-7 lead. It really was Army domination. They took their foot off the gas. Everybody played, Danny. They came in. I even think they wanted me, a former Air Force player, to play. They were looking for everybody. Anybody who had a pulse, come on in, get on in there and get a little piece of that. Now, in the meantime, East Carolina did score 21 points in the fourth quarter to somewhat make the score look respectable at a 45-28. But in addition to Bryson Daly, I do want to highlight Kanye Udo, who also ran for over 100 yards, 102 yards on 19 attempts, his third 100-yard game of the day. So, you know, Denny, when we look at the tail of the tape, I mean, it's classic Army football, right? Total 442 yards of total offense, 295 on the ground, and zero turnovers and 37 minutes of time of possession to ECU's 22. They did force one turnover, and they held ECU to only 369 yards of total offense. And as I said, most of that was in garbage time. They, as you mentioned, will be on a bye. And then it is the Service Academy rival game as they host the Falcons of Air Force.
Indeed. You mentioned the Army and the Navy quarterbacks. Do you think those two guys might get tempted to go, instead of active duty, playing football?
Absolutely not. These are not prototypical NFL-style quarterbacks. They're doing a lot more running. They're only throwing it 10 times a game or so. That's not what the NFL is looking for, unless you are you have to have exceptional speed, somewhat like a Lamar Jackson, to be a running quarterback in the NFL. Because guess what, Denny? Everybody's big and everybody's fast in the NFL, baby. And if you try to run, they hit and they hit hard. There's something called force equals mass times acceleration. And yeah. Does not bode well for running quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, Navy won pretty well, 51-17 over Charlotte.
They did. Denny, again, similar to Army, the midshipmen moved to number 24. Let's give them their respect. The number 24 ranked midshipmen, as they pummeled UNC Charlotte 51-17 at, of course, beautiful Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. Again, their statistics look very different, though, than Army's, as they were actually outgained by Charlotte 350-288, but their defense caused five turnovers. And the star of the game was cornerback Deshaun Peel, who became the first Navy player to return two interceptions for touchdowns in a game. We talked about Blake Horvath. He did throw three touchdown passes, and the midshipmen rolled over the UNC Charlotte.
And Air Force didn't do so well. They lost to Colorado State 21-13.
Well, Denny, all that excitement that was in my voice just left. Yes, the Air Force dropped another one, too. Six in a row now. The longest losing streak, really, I'm telling you, that I can ever remember the Falcons having. 21-13 to the Colorado State University Rams, and losing the Ram Falcon Trophy, which is a beautiful big bronze trophy. But it goes back to Colorado State this year. You know, there were a couple of highlights. They started a sophomore quarterback, Josh Johnson, who looked decent. But, you know, again, they have not settled on their quarterback. After falling behind, they were forced to turn to junior John Boucher, who went 10 for 25 for 175. But 10 for 25 is far from very efficient offense. It was the problem, again, was the Falcon offense. I mean, the defense is doing the best they can, but the offense really is not giving them any help. And as the service academies have to do, you have to play complementary football, offense, defense, special teams, or as Navy's defense did, have five turnovers. So even though you lose the time of possession, your offense has short fields and you're able to jump out. It was a low-scoring game. Colorado State scored 14 in the second quarter to take a 14-0 lead in the half. They added seven in the third quarter to go up 21-0. Air Force would try to claw back, getting 13 in the fourth, but it was really too little too late. And the Falcons did lose the turnover battle as well. So, it's just more of the same. It's what you call losing football as opposed to what Army and Navy are playing in winning football.
Well, we're about out of time. So we acknowledge Coast Guard lost to Salve Regina 28-34, and Merchant Marine beat Norwich 49-7. Let's talk a little bit about this coming weekend. Army has a bye and Air Force has a bye, but Navy has a little game versus Notre Dame.
Well, Denny, that is the big matchup. Again, the number 24 Navy midshipman will take on the number 12 ranked. And of course, you know, the darling from coast to coast every year, Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. I tell you what, Denny, it's going to be an exciting game. This could be the game that launches Blake Horvath into the Heisman Trophy discussion and it could vault the Naval Academy into national prominence.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Quentin. We'll be back at it again next week, brother. I always enjoy our time together.
Then it is great. Next week, we talk Air Force, Army. We will get to review the Navy and the Notre Dame game. Oh, my goodness, is this a great time in college football for our service academy teams.
It is. Thank you, brother. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code freedom, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code freedom. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the movie of the month. So joining us, of course, is our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. How are things going out east?
Very well, Denny. And of course, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you every month. I am gearing up for the film festival. We just have a few more weeks for the call for entries to be open. So if you know a filmmaker, please tell them to submit. GSFF.org.
Yes, ma'am. That's important. Okay, our movie of the month is The Attendant. It was entertaining, but it took me a while to figure it out, but I did. It was quite a story, and it was not always obvious what was going on, but it was clearly good people interacting together.
This was meant just to be a delightful little short. Obviously took place in Ireland, and, just a good-hearted, fun film to how to survive on this planet.
You know? It is. And the fact that my dad was Irish, actually he was only half Irish, but he thought he was full-blooded Irish. Anyway, so I grew up believing that I was Irish and everything about Ireland rings my bell. So therefore that played a role in that too.
Right.
And the Irish accent was awesome. That was something that was mentioned a number of times. And people driving on the left side of the street, that's the English area. And the money is euros. That was cool.
Right.
Just for the record, a euro is just a little bit more than a dollar, maybe $1.08, something like that.
That's good, yeah. Of course, people might have recognized Adrian Dunbar from the PBS series or the BritBox series. I'm blanking out. What's the name of that show? I just saw Ripley. Ripley. So, okay. He's a well-known actor.
So seeing one of those is cool.
Yep.
So the two main characters work at Giant's Corner, which is one of Northern Ireland's national scenic wonders. But we don't get to see any of the wonders.
No.
We just get to see the parking lot. That was another comment. So Frankie's an attendant who apparently greets everyone entering the parking lot. We don't see him do anything else, but that's what we see him do. And that doesn't mean he doesn't do anything else. But he obviously likes people and being around people and working in the parking lot. And he does claim that this is the busiest car park in Northern Ireland.
Correct.
Which all of that's very reasonable, logical. And as a friend of Kathy, he keeps encouraging her about her husband's job search. And Kathy, I guess, is the administrative person in the car park area.
I believe for the actual park, the destination.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable because she works in the office and she seems to have plenty to do to stay busy. She didn't seem bored.
No. And of course, she's very loving to the husband who's unemployed, and that, you know, was very sweet.
Yes, Paul is her husband, and he apparently has been looking for a job for like over 6 months. He applies for jobs, but can't seem to get hired. And he's really worried about it. And your point's well taken. She is so supportive of him. And, you know, I've never been in a situation where I went months without a job.
It does happen though. And men don't like to be out of work. That's for sure.
Yes. You know, I was like that for a month or so. But I was productively applying and it worked. To be out no after no after no, that would drive me nutser than I am.
Right.
So Paul's really worried about their future because they're living on Kathy's pay, but Kathy's pay is not enough for their expenses. And apparently they're quite behind in their mortgage payments. So he shows up at the mortgage guy's place with a check for €1,000. And the man takes the money, but then he reminds them that they still owe $3,000 more and they've got till the end of the month or they're going to get foreclosed. That's got to be tough on anybody, but I wouldn't want to be the guy who had to give that news. And I sure wouldn't want to be the one to get it.
Right.
He's got, 30 days to pay up or they'll begin proceedings to claim his house?
Right. Wow.
And again, Kathy is incredibly supportive. I mean, what an amazing lady. She obviously understands. And obviously, in her opinion and Paul's opinion, he's doing all he can do. And indeed, she tells a friend that as long as she and Paul are together, things will work out. And then she
finds out she has a guardian angel she didn't know about.
That's, you know, those guardian angels have ways of sneaking in, don't they?
They do, don't they?
They're pretty sneaky, but really grateful for them to show up. So Kathy is calling everywhere, trying to hire someone else to take. Oh, then Frank retires and he sends Kathy his locker key. And Kathy's calling everywhere to try to find somebody to hire someone to take Frank's place. Why didn't she hire her husband?
Well, because she's calling the companies that run parking lots.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know there is no company involved with the parking lot. That was the point.
Okay.
He's taking the money, putting it in his pocket. He just got a vest and a stick and made himself the parking lot attendant and got all the money. So then he gives her the key to the locker, and lo and behold, now her husband has a new job taking the money for the parking lot company that doesn't exist. You know?
Wow. You know, so what an amazing guardian angel. I've never met a guardian angel named Frank before.
But
he must have lived a really good life to be able to do all the things that he did and be able to bless somebody who is hurting.
Yep.
That's.
Well, I mean, he's a bit of a charlatan, but a likable one.
Yeah, I mean, he was charging people money for something that should have been free,
right?
and getting away with it.
Exactly.
So okay, so some angels have horns, a tail, and a pitchfork, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But who doesn't love a good charlatan?
Anyway, they find that bag full of money in Frank's old locker. And suddenly everything is getting better. Wow. Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, you mentioned it at the beginning when you first came on, but talk again about the Garden State Film Festival. It's held in March. Well, give us a review of when and where and what's going on right now.
Okay, March 27th through the 30th, Asbury Park in Cranford, New Jersey. The call for entries is open till November 1st. So again, if you know a filmmaker, a composer, or an actor, please have them submit at gsff.org.
And it's that easy. And if you can't remember that, contact me, Danny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, because I know how to get Diane.
Yes, you do.
So this is really an interesting, fun thing. Diane, thank you. Thank you for another great film and for being a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm so glad we're friends and working together.
Me too, Denny.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups now. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then, stand at ease.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Hey, I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Navy vet Marsha wrote that she keeps hearing that we should vote early. So, do you agree?
Marsha, yes. My wife and I are going to vote early. Be sure you do your research so that you can vote for all or at least most of the positions on your ballot.
And Marine vet Sam asked if you know what Ms. Harris stands for, except hating Trump.
Good question, Sam. She clearly stands for the horrible economy and the open border since she and Biden created it for us. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on October 28, 1886, the Statue of Liberty, a gift of friendship from the people of France to the people of our nation, was dedicated in New York Harbor by President Grover Cleveland.
And it's not underwater yet, is it?
Well, you were there at the dedication, weren't you, Colonel?
Be careful, troop. Be careful. On 31 October 1941, the U.S. Navy destroyer Reuben James was torpedoed by a German U-boat off Iceland, killing 115, even though the U.S. had not yet entered World War II. However, we were supporting getting goods to our friends in England, and the Reuben James was escorting that supply effort.
And on 31 October 1943, during World War II, Lieutenant Hugh O'Neill of VFN 75 destroyed a Japanese aircraft during night attack off Vella Lavella in the first kill by a radar-equipped night fighter of our Pacific Fleet.
That's impressive.
He did it with his eyes closed, too.
On 1 November 1952, we detonated the world's first thermonuclear weapon, the hydrogen bomb, on Eniwetok Atoll in the Pacific. The test gave us a short-lived advantage in the nuclear arms race with the Soviet Union. Following the successful Soviet detonation of an atomic device in September 1949, we accelerated this program to develop the next stage in atomic weaponry, the thermonuclear bomb. Popularly known as the hydrogen bomb, this new weapon was about 1,000 times more powerful than the conventional nuclear devices. And yes, the Soviets ultimately developed one too.
And on 30 October 1953, President Dwight Eisenhower formally approved a National Security Council paper. The top secret document made clear that America's nuclear arsenal must be maintained and expanded to meet the communist threat. It also made clear the connection between military spending and a sound American economy.
Boy, that one's important. And on 29 October 1956, Israeli armed forces pushed into Egypt towards the Suez Canal, initiating the Suez Crisis. They would soon be joined by French and British forces, creating a serious Cold War problem in the Middle East.
And on 30 October 1965, during the Vietnam War, just miles from Da Nang, U.S. Marines repelled an intense attack by successive waves of Viet Cong troops and killed 56 guerrillas. A search of the dead uncovered a sketch of Marine positions written on the body of a 13-year-old Vietnamese boy who had been selling drinks to the Marines the previous day. This incident was indicative of the nature of a war in which even the most seemingly innocent child could be the enemy. There were many other instances where South Vietnamese civilians that worked on or near U.S. bases provided information to and participated in attacks alongside the enemy.
And on 31 October 1991, during an extremely severe winter storm, our Coast Guard cutter, Tamaroa, rescued 4 of 5 Air National Guard crewmen from an H-60 helicopter that had ditched south of Long Island due to fuel exhaustion. The Tamaroa had been attempting to rescue 3 persons off the sailing vessel Satori, as had the Air National Guard helicopter the previous day when she was diverted to assist the Air National Guard pararescuemen. The 5th pararescuemen was never found. The Tamaroa was awarded the Coast Guard Unit Commendation for these heroic efforts.
And on 31 October 1997, the U.S. announced a plan to increase spending over the next decade to $1 billion per year to clear the world of landmines that threaten civilian populations by 2010.
That's a real threat, too. And on 31 October 1998, the U.S. and Israel signed a strategic cooperation agreement to protect the Jewish state from ballistic missiles. The Arrow anti-tactical ballistic missile program was one of the centerpieces of the U.S.-Israel strategic relationship. It was one of the most advanced missile defense systems in existence. The Arrow offered Israel essential capability against Scud-type ballistic missiles and provided us with key research and technology for other theater defense missile system programs.
And on 31 October 1998, Iraq said that it was suspending all cooperation with international arms inspectors and would close down their long-term monitoring operations in response to a Security Council rejection of demands that a review of its relations with the UN should automatically result in a lifting of sanctions. The move was condemned by the UN Security Council, but the condemnation did no good at all.
None at all. And on 31 October 2000, American astronaut Bill Shepard and 2 Russian cosmonauts rocketed into orbit upon the Soyuz rocket on a quest to become the first residents of the International Space Station. And they did. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations could happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's just the way the law works. This is why the U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought that that would ever happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat, but if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, an Arkansas state trooper, Alexandria Duncan, pulled over Angel Zepete Alvarado for speeding. Zepete Alvarado resisted arrest and fought the state trooper and was tased multiple times but continued to resist. A passing motorist, Kylie Sutton, rendered aid to the trooper. The trooper drew her pistol and fired one round into the head of Alvarado. A second trooper arrived on the scene and Alvarado was taken to the hospital. He survived and is in custody awaiting charges. The trooper and the Good Samaritan were praised for their actions. Zepete Alvarado, the Guatemalan national, was found to have twice the legal limit of alcohol in his system, as well as other drugs.
Thanks, Colonel. I find this report infuriating for three reasons. First, this Guatemalan citizen should never have been in America in the first place. He crossed into America illegally, aided by a wide-open U.S.-Mexico border. If we don't do something to plug the border, then criminal gangs from South and Central America will continue to pour into America and break our laws and hurt our citizens. Second, Trooper Duncan tased the illegal alien five times with little effect. The criminal took away the taser and jumped on top of the trooper. That's when Kylie Sutton, our Good Samaritan, stopped and tried to help. The two women were unable to subdue this intoxicated man who stood up and kicked the state trooper several times in the head. That's when the trooper drew her gun and shot the criminal in the ear. That's when a second male trooper arrived and subdued the criminal. I watched the 8-minute dash cam video, and I'm outraged that dozens of men drove past these two women as they tried to subdue the criminal, and they didn't stop. They didn't stop to help. Dozens of citizens watched this unfold, and only one woman was willing to stop and help the trooper. That's shameful and ridiculous. And third, the Guatemalan illegal alien was charged with speeding, reckless driving, failure to yield to emergency vehicle, no driver's license, resisting arrest, and battery second degree. Despite that, his lawyer argued that his client didn't speak fluent English and shouldn't be held accountable for his actions. In the end, Angel Zepete Alvarado was offered a plea deal for driving while intoxicated and reckless driving. He accepted the plea deal. Pro-immigrant forces are claiming this is a clear case of police brutality and racism. I see it quite differently. I'm a white male, U.S. citizen, and I can tell you that if I drive past a cop at 114 miles per hour, then refuse to pull over, have a blood alcohol level over twice the legal limit, plus other drugs, I resist arrest, kick the officer in the head, disarm the officer of his taser, then I will undoubtedly be charged, convicted, and go to jail for a very long time. But this man, who was a criminal the moment he set foot illegally into America, was given a slap on the wrist. We see this outrageous dereliction of justice happening all over the country, and it will continue to happen until we have someone in the White House who will protect our country's borders. Until then, folks, buckle up, because the ride is going to get really, really bumpy.
Well said, Skip. Right on, brother. Our movie of the month is The Attendant. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Paul Dreisen from CFACT will discuss the future weather crises, including their impact on the military. Then we'll meet West Point's athletic director, Mike Buddy. Quentin will then review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Teresa Robinson will introduce us to another female veteran. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.